thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. Passover is in the air, and on this show, we'd like to better understand those very things that we do every year without understanding them. What Passover? Come on. We're all the time fighting. We have such problems. The government and the entire country is torn into pieces. We're maybe on the verge of a civil war. What Passover? But Passover is here, Dr. Lightman. What Passover? This isn't Passover. It's the deep, dark Egyptian slavery that we're in, and we're not even aware of it, that our ego is controlling us, toying with us, inciting us against each other. And that's what's going on. It's terrible. The game that our ego is playing with the people of Israel. Look what's going on. What Passover? Passover, it's already a decision that we have to escape, to get out. And the people of Israel sighed as reason of the bondage from this work that we're all in, where we're only destroying each other. It's not Passover. This is still the Egyptian slavery within the 7 years of famine. That's what the story starts with on the Pesach Haggadah, that as the song goes, that we were slaves. And what were we? It's not that we were slaves. We're still slaves and we're not even aware of it. So what kind of slaves are we? We think that we're free people in our country. It's not the people of Israel and we're not even in Egypt. Egypt, that means that we determine that we are under the rule of Pharaoh, under the rule of the ego. We don't think so. Wait a second, you confuse me with all the motives. Are we slaves? No. Because a slave, it means that you feel that you're the slave of your evil nature. What is my evil nature? The ego? Where you really have to fight with others and you hate them and you don't know where does this urge come from, but it comes from within and you're not even aware of it. And you don't feel that there's this foreign force that's controlling you, but you think that it's yourself. I don't understand. There are people that behave in a bad way, and I don't think it's bad. I know many such people. Right? There are people that say, I'm fed up with my evil. I'm fed up with it. I don't know what to do about this body, about my nature, about my anger, about my bad moods. When I look at others, I want to burn them. I don't like my wife and my family. That I want to leave this world altogether. It can burn as long as I care. Give me some other planet. Maybe on the moon or Mars. I'll find myself a place. I don't know where to escape to. Some small deserted island and that's it. So a person says, where does it come from? It comes because I'm evil, because I can't get along with others, because I'm destroying myself with it. So a person already understands then that he is under the rule of the evil nature. That means to be under the rule of Pharaoh. Now we have to further understand, where does it all come from? And the wisdom of Kabbalah, it explains that your nature is evil on purpose, so that gradually you'll feel, at first you don't feel that you have an evil nature. That's how nature is, that's who we are. But afterwards, you start telling yourself apart from your nature, where you have already two authorities, me and the evil nature called Pharaoh. And then I can look at that Pharaoh, at that evil nature of mine from the side and say, maybe I'll make some efforts for him not to control me. I'll treat everyone nicely. What will happen as a result doesn't matter, but I want to control him. He's all the time disconnecting me from this dual point of view, where there's me and him, and he's constantly pushing me at being bad towards others. I'll show everyone when I'm driving, I'll show him, I won't let him overtake me, and so on. And here, we have to come to a place where we see this evil rule, this evil control over us, foreign control over us. It's there on purpose for us to acknowledge that it is a foreign rule, and we'll want to disconnect from it. We can't fight this evil, but disconnect from it. And the disconnection from it is called escaping from Egypt. Meaning, the evil, it stays, only I disconnect from it. It even exists in me, in some place down there, in my guts. But I don't allow it to jump out. I suppress it. I disconnect from it. Disconnecting from this evil where I rise above it, that's called coming out of the land of Egypt, coming out from under the rule of Pharaoh. And then I come out. I'm not yet a free people in our land from slavery to freedom. I only come out of the slavery, but I'm not entering freedom yet. How do you go into the freedom? Wait a moment. Now you have to have the complete disconnection from Pharaoh, which is called the week of Passover, Pesach. And afterwards, those very qualities that belong to Egypt, to Pharaoh, you have to start correcting them. Because I have no other nature. I had an evil nature. Now I have to correct it and turn it into a good nature. And for that, I need a special force in order to correct the evil, to turn it into good after the Exodus from Egypt. And then I make a calculation. How do I correct myself? And this calculation is called the count of the omer. There in Egypt, it was bread. Later on, I had the unleavened bread, also in Hebrew meaning the bread of poverty for the first week. Then I go back to the regular bread, rich bread. And this period is called the omer count. That also has to do with bread, wheat. And I check what was bad, and I go over all of my desires, and thank God I have 49 up to the 50th. All of these desires, they're called sfirot. So we have Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut, seven sfirot in my desire. That's how it's divided into seven parts, where in each part there are also seven parts. So seven times seven, it's different kinds of desires. Yes, different kinds of desires. So seven times seven, we have 49 different desires, which we want to correct, that we're ready to correct. It's the nature which I left back in Egypt when I disconnected from it. Left it there, meaning I didn't use it. Now, gradually, I'm starting to count it. You know, like you count your inventory. Very same thing. This is what I do. And then, suppose what? I start counting the desires. I have a mountain of 50 desires. I start counting them like an inventory. I pick up the first desire. What do I tell it? What? According to the desire which I'm examining right now, to the extent to which I've used it in order to harm you, in different ways. In slander, in turning people against each other, different things. Now, I'm checking, and suppose this desire is related to you, how through it can I do good deeds now? How can I do good unto you? From bad to good. From bad to good. That's called that I'm counting the inventory of all of my bad, evil, and I'm checking how can I do good with it. This is still only as a disconnection from the previous state. Because on the Passover Eve, we escape, we flee and disconnect from all of those desires, and now we're examining them. What are those desires that were in us? But now from a new state, where we're outside of Egypt, no longer under the rule of Pharaoh. I look at them, whoa. Look what I was immersed in, where I was. It's like looking at yourself from the outside, something like that. It's not myself. I disconnected from them. It's no longer me. I said, this is not me. Now I identify myself with that point that came out of Egypt, which is outside of all of the egoistic desires. Now I'm at that point. And from within it, I examine them one by one, desire by desire, 49, 7 times 7, 49 desires. It's called 49 days. I'm counting these desires in a certain light. I count these desires. How can I correct them? Instead of the evil with which I treated everyone in the past, and really it's thanks to Pharaoh that revealed all of our evil to us, which is he himself, now we can invert this evil gradually into good. It's not only during the Omer count, it's a preparation for the fifth day called Shavuot, the holiday of the giving of the Torah. On the one hand, it's called Shavuot, Pentecost, because we calculated all the desires, we counted them, we made an inventory. And on the other hand, it's called the giving of the Torah, where we receive the reforming light. It's called, I've created the evil inclination. Oh, now I see that it's the evil inclination. I made an inventory. Now I see it before me. And now I've created the Torah spice, meaning I'm needy of a special light, a special force that will help me to use all of these desires one by one and all of them together, in order to bestow good onto others. That's called Torah, because the great rule of the Torah is love thy neighbor as thyself, love another as thyself, and this is what I come to. If I understand what you said, then you're saying that the story of Passover, it's a story of correcting the relations between people? Yes? With whom else do you have to correct your relations? So what Passover wants to tell us is that the bad relations between us are those that are enslaving us, that are destroying our life. Yes. And if we come out of them, then we'll have a much better life. Heaven. What do you mean by heaven? A life of heaven is that in the good relations between us, we will feel a completely different level of our existence. When we'll start treating each other on such a level that, it's how to say, it's an eternal life, whole, complete, and perfect life. What do you mean by eternal? Eternal. Literally. What do you mean literally? Because you, the human part in you, which has corrected these desires and your good attitude towards others, doesn't die. There is no death. Your body dies, as always, like any other living organism. But in the meantime, by starting to treat others nicely, you grow within yourself this level of liveliness called the speaking level, which is above the physical body, unrelated to the physical body. The speaking, it's a form, it's a model, this kind of a discernment that does not belong to our corporeal, animalistic, physical body. An additional level of existence? Yes, an additional level of existence in awareness, feeling, understanding, perception. And what is revealed then to our quality of bestowal and love, in which we feel the quality of bestowal and love that controls the whole of reality altogether above the degrees of the still vegetative and the animate, and we reach a state, as it says, you shall see your world in your lifetime. I suddenly feel on this level of existence different feelings that don't exist today in my reality, in my physical... Yes, which is that love that you're talking about and the bestowal you're talking about. Yes, that's called the eternal Torah, the Torah of life. And there it's eternal. Why are you saying that it's eternal? Eternal because it's above time, space, and motion, above our world. We rise to the next dimension, and it doesn't end. It doesn't end, even like physicists say. What's the big wonder when you read about it in the newspapers or hear it on TV or on the internet, that the scientists are discovering this thing, then why are you suddenly surprised by it? What are they discovering, the scientists? They discover that there is life above time, above space, in a different dimension, let's say in a different universe, on a different level, higher level, where there is no concept of time, space, motion. The matter of the human body doesn't exist there. But life there is in the form of information, attitude, without physical bodies. So my ticket there is developing love, developing the feeling of others, of loving others. Okay, this is the end of the path, right? Yes. In the meantime, afterwards, there's more. But with respect to what you've described till now, yes. Okay, going back to the beginning of the process, Passover. You described it as disconnecting from the evil that rules me, my egoistic urges towards others. Yes. On Passover, in many homes, there's this special cupboard where you have the special kitchenware for Passover. All year long, we cook and the day-to-day kitchenware, and there is special kitchenware for Passover. What's this custom where you exchange your entire kitchen for Passover? Actually, this special kitchenware is something modern. In the past, you just made new kitchenware out of clay. What did you make it out of? Wood, clay, what did you have? Skin, animal skins. So this new kitchenware, in Hebrew also called kelim, which means vessels. So these new vessels, meaning these desires of yours, which you previously used in order to receive, now you can no longer use these desires, but you use them in order to bestow. I lost you. I asked, why do we exchange the kitchenware or the vessels during the Passover? The kitchenware, in Hebrew called kelim, also meaning vessels, a person's desires are called the vessels. It symbolizes it. It symbolizes my desires. Yes, I have to exchange the set of my desires with respect to others. Okay, what is the day-to-day set? And what is the... The set of the day-to-day vessels are egoistic desires to use others for my own benefit, and then you suppress them and you use them. And during the holiday, it's the other way around. I have to exchange this set for what? You have to exchange your set and use it to love others now, to bestow onto others. That's called new kelim, new vessels. And after you use these new vessels for a week, you can start going back to your old vessels because you already know how to correct them, meaning how to use them correctly. So the idea is actually to take what we have, that old vessel, and to take a certain period of time where I experience something else. Suppose I wasn't in shape. I go to the gym for a week in order to feel this new feeling, to understand what does it mean to be in shape. And then I go back to the old state, and now I can enjoy. The word for getting in shape in Hebrew is kosher. So Dr. Lightman says, don't confuse kosher with kosher. Okay. The holiday starts with the Passover Eve. It's an evening with plenty of details. And what's the story of the Passover Eve, Lelasedo, in Hebrew, literally meaning to put things in order? It's the order of coming out of Egypt. It's the order of actions which a person has to perform inside himself in order to disconnect from his ego, rise above it, and afterwards to return and correct all of his egoistic desires, which he does during the Omer count, the inventory as we called it. And when he counts, he corrects. You remember what we say, that I've hit this and that sfira, meaning everything that I want to correct, that I flawed the sfira of Netzach and that, but before the sfirot. Let's talk about Passover. Passover Eve, Leil HaSeder, is an action, is a series of actions that a person has to perform in order to disconnect from his ego. Yes, you're talking a lot about the ego. A lot. It's our entire nature. So when you're talking about disconnecting from my ego, it means that it's a recommendation for myself today. Where are your grandchild? And I tell you, wise grandpa, give me an advice for life. Learn how to disconnect from your ego, and that's the main thing. But what's wrong with the ego, dear grandpa? Because it bitters your life, and you will have to leave it, escape it. But unless you learn about it, you'll get blows that will teach you, nonetheless, how to flee from it. And it's a very hard and bitter and long teaching. I'm afraid I don't understand your definitions, dear grandpa, if we continue the allegory. What do you mean when you say ego? Ego, it's called your attitude towards other people. My attitude towards others? Others. Only towards others. You can eat and drink and have a family and kids. Eat 10 portions a day, build a palace for yourself, that's not considered an ego. To be a billionaire, it's not considered ego. What do you call ego? Ego, it means that you want to use another person like yourself adversely in order to rise above him. What do you mean? When I want to suppress someone, that's called ego. The ego is measured solely with respect to you using others adversely. So let's go back to the Passover Eve. What does that mean? Leil HaSeder, the Passover Eve, it's disconnecting, escaping from using others adversely in all aspects. Again, disconnection from adversely using others. Is there something about that night that teaches me how to do it? It's a symbol where we reach a life which is the Egyptian darkness, and we get blows because of our ego. The Pharaoh within us gets blows. Imagine that your body is getting blows, sicknesses, disappointments, problems from the kids, the family, the relatives, your parents, your grandchildren, everything there only is. All that, the poor Pharaoh, meaning your nature, suffers so that you want to escape from it. You want to flee from it. I want to die. I don't know how. It's better to die than keep on living this way. That's the Egyptian darkness. And then suddenly it reveals that we can rise above it from the darkness. And then I escape. I escape in haste. I don't care about nothing. I escape. That's the exodus from Egypt. This is what we're celebrating. That an opening opens for us the size of the tip of the needle where we can escape through there. That's how hard our life was. But we can come to this hard life through thinking, understanding, learning, and then we can take a small thing and enlarge it to make it look big, like people that hear lectures about smoking, how hazardous it is. So God forbid they don't have to be poisoned and have lung cancer and so on. They identify it in advance and escape. We can do the same with Egypt. If not, We will feel our life and our world as complete darkness, and especially we, the Jews. I wanted to ask, on Leila Seder, Passover Eve, on the ceremony we have this big bowl that we put different special foods on it. We have the shank bone, the bitter herbs, the roasted egg, the three matzahs. There's this special session that... What are all these things? Not necessarily to go into the resolution of what is each of these, but what's this bowl? What's the story about? First of all, the Agadah that we read, it's as if incorrect calling it the Agadah. It's the order of the coming out of Egypt. It's the order of Passover, meaning to pass over. In what way do I come out? And there are many things there that I hope that we'll meet again, and I'll be able to just a bit explain it, even though that it's really hard, because for this, we have to understand how are we operated in our world, by which forces of nature are we operated, how do these forces of nature influence us, and why? When these forces of nature deliver us from Egypt, that put us in Egypt to begin with on purpose, and then deliver us from Egypt, why did they work according to this order called Kalpas, Marol, the four glasses, and so on? And these are also symbols of coming out of Egypt. Yeah, the shank bone, the four glasses, the damim. We'll have to talk about this next time, but still, can you summarize, what's the most important thing we learned about Passover? That let's examine ourselves and discover that we're under the rule of our ego called Pharaoh, and we won't have a good life if we keep on going this way, but let's decide as quickly as possible that we have to escape it, escape the rule of our Pharaoh that exists in each and every one of us, the control of our ego, at least disconnect from it. We'll decide together, it's going to be really easy because the entire people comes out of Egypt. Let's reach a social consensus about it and escape. Rise above this bad relation towards each other. Our life and our country will be completely different. Amen. So, happy Passover to everyone. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you. Till next time. All the best.